Welcome into another episode of the Young Turf Podcast. Ahmed Ghafir and Mason Viner. Ahmed, let's pick it up where we left it last time. Maryland basketball, they dropped two close ones, including a 61-59 loss earlier today at Xfinity Center against Michigan State.
Yeah, obviously, I think the road loss against Northwestern, I think a lot of fans were hoping that, you know, Maryland's kind of able to build off that momentum coming off the Illinois win, but with the chance to come back home on a day where you honor Lefty Giselle or the Maryland Script Terps and bring back several former Terps back at Xfinity Center, really disappointing start. Obviously, Maryland was able to get off to that hot start, but really fitting ending the way that Maryland was able to turn it over for the 18th time and suffered their second home loss already in 2024.
Yeah, going back to earlier this week, 72-69, Maryland loses at Northwestern. In both games, Ahmed, with somewhat similar endings, Jameer Young with the ball for Maryland after he plays. I mean, just continues what should be. We'll see if Maryland at this point, sitting at 11-7 and 3-5 in the league, affects his ability to be an All-American player, but that is truly the level he was performing at, especially on Wednesday night. But both times he falls short of two what would have been massive go-ahead or game-tying shots if you look at what he would have put up today, but both end in really poor offensive possessions for Kevin Willard's team.
Yeah, obviously, I think Wednesday night, I mean, this just Jameer Young just really felt like ever since that UCLA game, he's kind of been on a tear. Obviously, he battled the flu in between, and I believe it was the Coppin State game he missed with that flu there. But really, since then, I mean, he's been on fire and 20 points or more in five of the six games coming into Sunday. So, I mean, again, Wednesday night felt like it was really Jameer Young versus Boo Booey, and it was kind of an exciting matchup to watch when he took whether Maryland was going to be able to take or be able to pull out the win in Evanston, when to take that out of the equation and just be able to kind of watch that guard matchup. But again, you know, Jameer Young did it all. Maryland continues to go as far as Jameer Young takes them. You still see some signs of maybe Dante Scott being up, maybe that secondary score. Times you saw that again, you know, dropping a little bit, but saw that during the second half of Sunday's second half comeback that fell short, of course. But in Evanston, I mean, it's similar to what a lot of Maryland fans had seen through much of the season. Jameer Young, Julian Reese, Jordan Geronimo, Dante Scott, the only Terps to find the bottom of the net, and the supporting cast, the bench, the freshmen, nowhere to be seen. So, it still seems to be the same problem, Maryland, and it's big that we're now in late January and Willard still hasn't been able to figure out what to do to get his freshman going.
Yeah, and today was, you know, a different story. Wednesday, the same thing. Wednesday, Maryland shoots as a team over 50%. Today, the Terps finish up shooting 42%, but hit eight threes on the game and actually shoot the ball in both games, you know, better than they have on the season to this point, knocking down 36% from the three-point line. Today, Jahari Long had the hot hand there for a couple minutes, but then just doesn't really take another shot for Maryland. The Terps struggle again to get to the free throw line. Michigan State makes more free throws than the Terps attempt, even though they're on their home court. Maryland out-rebounds. Michigan State really played a great second half, but there were just times, and it showed in both games, where the Terps give up, 15-0 run in this game, a 9-0 or 11-0 run in the Northwestern game on Wednesday night, and those will kill you when you can't really shoot your way back into leading the game.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on it. I think Jahari Long was really arguably the only bright spot through the first 20 minutes. I mean, knocking down three-pointers in the first half there. And Jameer Young finished with 9 points each. But again, no, it goes back to that eight-minute stretch where Maryland struggled to find any offense. Michigan State went on, I believe it was 17-1 run during that stretch. That run is incorrect, but Michigan State was really able to blow it open, and they took that 29-15 lead midway through the first, and it felt like it all really happened in the blink of an eye. Had a little bit of an inexperienced lineup out there that really helped facilitate that spark for the Spartans there. But again, like you said, you know, I think a good showing in the second half to start it out, but just much too short there.
Yeah, it certainly is. So now if you look at the season as a whole, the Terps really dropped two key quad one win opportunities, especially the one today, just it being at home. And look, it's almost one of those games where you really needed this one if you want to have still the chance that they're going to push for the tournament. You would almost have to convince yourself that they have to go somewhere at a minimum win, go 8-4 the rest of the way, if not 9-3.
Yeah, obviously, I think at this point, you know, the Illinois win, they gave Maryland a chance to start building that NCAA resume. And then the next two games, you know, Maryland, of course, came up close and fell short. Now dropped to 0-5 in close games, one possession games so far this season. So I think, you know, Maryland is really kind of facing that uphill battle. I mean, you're kind of looking at Maryland potentially having to win out maybe one, maybe two losses at most to really, again, you know, there's no conference schedule that can really bank on. UCLA had a chance to potentially be a slightly better win. I've had a double-digit lead against Arizona at Arizona yesterday and found a way to lose on the road. Mick Cronin's technical, it seemed to be kind of the tipping point there in that run. But again, you know, there's just not much for Maryland to really lean on. So we need the common success. Obviously, Illinois, that's a huge one. But, you know, now Terrence Cannon is back. And, you know, that there's going to be a little bit of an asterisk that Maryland beat Illinois. Granted, it was at Illinois, but beat Illinois without Terrence Shannon, which is arguably their best player there. So I think it'll just it's kind of an uphill battle. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if Maryland, if they do get offered the NIT, is it a foregone conclusion that Maryland does take it? It's an interesting conversation to have, and it'll be interesting to see kind of what that what move and feedback is kind of these next couple of weeks. Again, you know, I think it's really disappointing to see year two fall flat like this.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. This is almost what you would have expected out of last year's season. You know, kind of somewhat, there are pieces, but they're not really playing like they've played basketball before. Like, they're coached extremely well. They understand the system that they're playing in. And I think there are a couple moments from both of the games this week that show up, but mainly it's when you mentioned, you know, they're 0-5 in one possession games this year. They just, in those moments, they just have not looked like they're prepared to play in them. I mean, the shot at the end of the game on Wednesday, just coming out of that set, Jameer Young with the ball top of the key, doesn't really drive the basket, settles for a mid-range jumper, doesn't, you know, not another player gets a touch on the ball in that. And then today, you know, Willard is yelling for a timeout as Jameer Young is, you know, losing the ball with his back turned to the basket with less than 3 seconds left on the clock. And those are things, when you look at this team from the coaching standpoint, that just don't really add up when you're watching the game. That, and then the fact that it's, you know, January 21st and you're seeing no ability to stop runs from another team, still no real answer from any player from the 3-point line. And you have guys like a Noah Batchelor that are getting minutes, but they're not attempting shots. And when you look at, you know, a player like that, the only real reason that you have, the reason why you recruited the guy and the reason why it's out there is because he can't shoot the ball from the 3-point line, or you hope that that player has that ability. And go back to Jahari Long. He doesn't attempt another three after making three, going 3-for-3 today during the game. It's kind of mind-boggling a little bit, just the offensive chemistry and the lack of set calling at certain times where the team clearly needs something more from the bench.
Yeah, I think there a couple times where Jameer Young, you know, was not on the bench. I mean, granted, it doesn't happen too often, but you just watch the offense just completely fall stagnant, even towards the end there, last 4 or 5 minutes. Jameer Young, Julian Reese, Dante Scott all in the court, and it felt like really just all playing one-on-one ISO ball. There's no sets. There's no trying to take advantage of a matchup or trying to create a matchup. It's very concerning. And again, you go back and forth. I mean, I think Jameer Young, has obviously been the spark that doing everything for Maryland. Thinking that through the second half of that Michigan State loss, fans started to see, maybe it was more evident that he just simply is exhausted. I mean, 2 turnovers in the last two and a half minutes there. Very critical, a little bit, I wouldn't say completely uncharacteristic, but just a bit of a byproduct in playing 39, 38 minutes night in, night out. So, again, you know, I think just when you kind of look at ahead and you look at Dante Scott, you look at Jameer Young, both of those guys gone, and what's kind of coming in, you know, it's you're kind of staring at a pivotal offseason for Willard. And again, goes back to what I said. It's concerning that these are kind of the words that are being thrown around to describe Willard in his second going into third year. But again, I think at this point you're kind of looking ahead to the future to try and see just some growth, some kinds of development.
Yeah, and you know, it's a shame just with the talent that is on this roster that is where you sit at this point, because if they didn't drop those two what are now quad three losses to Davidson and UAB, you would still trying to justify, those are the words I'm looking for, some sort of run here at the end of the season that would give them a chance either going into the Big Ten tournament or not. But those are, you know, losses that you just really can't afford when you're not making it up this time of year with wins, specifically on the road against quality opponents, which, let's be real, I mean, they might pull something off against like an Iowa if Iowa has an off shooting game and be able to pick up a win. I mean, they're a competitive team in this league, but that is the frustrating part. Is it's not like they have injuries and that's caused it, or completely, and I'll make this comment, I know a lot of people are very adamant about this. The roster construction's bad, but it's not horrible, you know, just given where they are at this point in the season. They're just, the guys just cannot get the ball to go in the basket. I mean, if one or two things were different, I think everybody would agree that we would be looking at a completely different picture at the moment. But it is a big, to me, the biggest shame is when Willard, you can clearly see him directing the offense. The results are much better in those moments than when he's just letting the game play. And I understand the guy can't sit there and run the plays for them the entire game. It's not football. They're not calling in a play and having time to calculate that. But it is one of those things where you're watching them at certain points and you just see him not as into the game or not, you know, really forcing his offense to run the way he wants it to. And then you see the turnovers, the awful shots at the end of the shot clock, the lack of movement off ball. It just doesn't make sense when you had a team that is supposed to be, you know, Final Four sleeper preseason.
Yeah, again, I think you hit it right on the head. It's just weird that nothing has just really felt like it's kind of gelled together. So we'll see. I mean, again, it's going to be an interesting next 6 weeks. It's going to be disappointing, you know, just again, you know, chance to kind of beef up Xfinity a little bit. And, you know, you think a lot of people are looking at, winter break fans, the student section is gone. And, you know, once they're back, you know, it'll be better. And a little bit disappointing to kind of have the realization that once the students are kind of back, the season's kind of over. So, again, kind of what you said, I think it's kind of interesting to see how that, you know, kind of all comes together in the end. But if it does come together in the end, I think at this point, you know, Willard has to just kind of focus on getting some of the young guys, get them playing with a little bit more confidence. Like, again, you know, you saw Deshaun Harris-Smith a couple times in the second half today where he was a little bit more aggressive, looked a little bit more efficient, and he'd drive to the paint and he'd find, he'd meet contact and he looked to pass it out. And a couple times it ended up being turnovers, just being able to find some rhythm there. So, and again, you know, getting some help for Jameer Young. This guy's been able to step up at times, but just hasn't been consistent enough for Maryland.
Yeah, just a quick look ahead for the Terps. They'll head to Iowa on Wednesday night. Another opportunity for a quad one win on the road. Iowa, high-scoring team. I do not love that matchup for Maryland, but recently they've been able to compete and kind of play to the pace of the other team, so maybe they'll get some things going there, and then they'll return home for a quad two opportunity with the students back. But it's a noon game on Saturday, so we'll get those set of excuses for Maryland student attendance, as we all know from football. Any game at noon in College Park, fans just don't love it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be interesting to kind of see if the students are not again attendance. Was disappointing again today that, you know, Michigan State noon game, national TV, and a lot of empty seats today. So, but then again, you know, look at the product this year, and can you blame it? So that's a big problem for Maryland. So, but yeah, we'll see what the atmosphere looks like next Saturday.
Yeah, we certainly will, Ahmed. A lot of recruits in College Park earlier today with Michael Oxley.
Yeah, long list of guys. It's been a little bit quiet through this first couple of weeks. With the last 2 weeks, the staff with Azar Abdul-Rahim, with him officially in the fold now, him making rounds locally and whatnot. So no surprise, a lot of local guys making their way back to campus. 2025 guy, offensive lineman, who's made his way to campus a couple times in the past. Grayson Reed, Brian Braswell has done a good job recruiting him in the past and keeping in contact. Interior lineman at the next level, but definitely a name to kind of keep tabs on. Brandon Finney, speedster, really good track guy out of McDonough. Actually picked up the offer from Maryland on Saturday, visited Penn State on Saturday, picked up the Maryland offer Saturday night, made his way to College Park. He's been on campus before, but always good to see another McDonough guy make his way back. North Carolina, from the Eastern Shore, cornerback Zymir Smith. Czar has done a really good job recruiting him when he was at Boston College, and that kind of continues since he was at Maryland. It's like, you know, that is going to be an early priority for Maryland. And this was kind of his first time back. And not every time you hear for a football recruit that he hasn't visited for a football game, but today's visit marked his second visit for a basketball game. So not always very common to hear that. But some other guys, Denji Arnold, cornerback at Gonzaga, Aiden West, Quince Orchard, cornerback, Emmanuel Dyson, wide receiver out of Dematha. And then you had good counts alignment, Aiden Buchanan, Gavin Crawford, Friendship Collegiate defensive tackle, Bryce Jenkins. So a lot of these guys, you know, 2025 guys, prime targets for Maryland. A lot of these guys, again, you know, the local recruiting for Maryland, that's going to be their bread and butter. And this is a very deep class, especially deeply, really just there. So I think Maryland has a chance to really set a strong foundation for this 2025 class. And I honestly still expect it to be Mike Locksley's probably top to bottom best class since he's been in College Park. I just think the way that they've kind of positioned themselves early with a lot of these guys, I think the talent is deeper this year than it has been in some years past. I think John has a chance to really put a fence around the area. So Sunday marked step one. So we shall see what the visitor feedback looks like Sunday night and into the rest of the week.
Yeah, we definitely will, Ahmed. I got to ask this one. I know it's the burning question out there. Terps back in the portal. You know, you had a piece earlier with a possible portal tight end for Maryland. Are they going to wait for the spring window, or at this point, are they just hunting for a select few guys to finish off the roster?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, there's no, I've been, you know, seeing it for a couple of weeks now. There's no, it doesn't feel like it's like a dire burning desire, like they need to move now, whatnot. You know, a lot of just kind of just evaluating what's in the portal, especially on both sides of the trenches. I think, you know, Monkel Godwin, he's another guy that kind of surfaced on the defensive line, and, you know, it was a formidable target that Maryland was looking at. Took that official visit to South Carolina, and the plan going in wasn't to commit to South Carolina. Again, you know, Maryland wasn't you know, bending over backwards to get him. I ended up taking that first visit and committing. So I kind of expect Maryland to stay a little bit patient. And again, that tight end there. So he's told me before that he expects to take a visit to Maryland. I know that he's making his way back home now. So we'll see. Obviously, Maryland kicks off their second semester this week. Don't hold me to the drop bad date for Maryland's second semester just yet. But I believe they have a little bit of time. Maryland just in general just has a little more luxury compared to a lot of schools, just given how late they start their second semester. So it's a little bit of time. But again, I don't think it's going to be a flurry of movement really in spring, especially some positions. You just kind of want to see how, especially that cornerback room, I think that's where it really applies the most. But just kind of want to see what you have before you really add to it or and kind of just mess around with the room. And, you know, there's been a lot of guys, obviously, from, you know, Alabama, Arizona. And it's not like Maryland hasn't, like they haven't evaluated guys, haven't tried reaching out to guys, haven't worked, tried getting guys on campus, things like that. It's just that they're not as much of a flurry to solidify the position was right after or right before the bowl season.
Yeah, it is certainly one of those things where, you know, and you hear so much about the portal, either there's kind of a handful of things that go on. Obviously, we're seeing the staff departure piece of it right now at Washington, at Arizona, at Alabama. You've seen it earlier. I mean, everywhere that coaches leave at this point, it's just open season for the players at those schools. And if you look at where they're going, it's either somebody has come through with a, you know, big-time offer from another big-time program, and you can just see kind of connect the dots that they were on the phone with, you know, their camp pretty quickly after that, looking for a landing spot and with, you know, some sort of number in mind for compensation for that piece. Then you got the guys that really go into the portal and don't have any direction. And then you have, you know, a guy like a position coach that moves from one school to another, sees a guy jump into the portal, if they either recruited at another stop or have some sort of connection, kind of like what Maryland had with Braswell and Huron earlier in that, where you just, you know, you saw the connections pay off. And really that's what you're looking at. And that's why there's so many guys that you'll see right now in the portal that won't get another opportunity to play anywhere. And then you see guys that it's less than 24 hours before they commit. You just always have to factor that in when you hear that, you know, Maryland should be going after this dude from Arizona. Well, is there any sort of connection there where you can connect the dots to even get the kid on the phone, or somebody else that either trying to pull him up to Washington really quick and keep him with Coach Fish, or, you know, somebody else that recruited him earlier has already made that contact somewhere where there is a sense of comfort that they know what they're getting into.
Yeah. And again, you know, I mean, you know, especially just kind of the way that college football works, you know, tampering is still very real. So, you know, that stuff exists. But again, I think that obviously, you know, that the talent that's out there is, you know, there's obviously always chances to upgrade your roster, improve the floor of the room and things like that. But again, you know, in the era of, you know, trying to create some roster stability and some consistency year in, year out, you know, something to keep in mind. Anytime you're adding someone, you're potentially risking losing another person. So not always addition is always it's not always a good thing for you know, for teams and things like that. So I think that's something just to kind of be mindful of. But again, you know, I think it's been a weird offseason, obviously, with Saban, with that news kind of shaking up the college football world. But again, I think Maryland will be fine figuring out that one tackle spot, D-line, tight end, potentially another safety as well. So a couple spots here and there. Again, I think it kind of all starts in the trenches, both sides of the trenches, kind of priority. But yeah, probably start to see that next wave in the spring, unless the coach carousel has another surprise for us.
Yeah, well, even when you don't think it does, it seems to hit Maryland in some strange ways over the past year. So if they can get out of this one with nothing going sideways between now and, I don't know, realistically mid-February when the carousel is kind of done for the most part, it would be step in the right direction, I guess, for some consistency in college park.
I would agree.
All right, Ahmed, anything else you wanted to get to on the pod today?
No, I mean, it'll be nice to see. Be always better to cover a win, but we shall see how the rest of the season fares. And like I mentioned, stay tuned. We'll have plenty of reactions and potentially news on an official visitor next weekend. So stay tuned.
Yeah, there's certainly one thing that this conference, and it's I would almost call it overhype, gives you if you're Maryland at this point, which is a ton of opportunity to get back into the picture. I'll throw it out there at least for the rest of this week. A quad one and a quad two opportunity just where Maryland sits can get them start trending in the right direction and give us some more to talk about here on the podcast and some more for you guys to listen to on it. So as always, stay in tune with Inside the Black and Gold. Also, if you haven't checked out Ahmed's show with Logan that started off, a visitor that actually visited Maryland this week was on there. Ryan Howerton was on there. First episode, to make sure to check out the Shell Report with Logan and Ahmed. You can find it on this podcast channel. If you subscribe to us, you can always, of course, find it on InsideTheBlackAndGold.net. Make sure to subscribe to all that for all of your Terps news. Give us a like where you can on this podcast and subscribe to us. Helps us out. For Ahmed Ghafir, I'm Mason Viner. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.